We should have mentioned this. Tread very lightly. We could end up on St. Brown's list.
Yeah, I mean, he's always making those lists, but I tell you what, if, I mean, he's outperformed that previous list, other than Justin Jefferson. But if he is able to put together a season where at the end of the year you say he had a better year than A.J. Brown, a better year than Tyreek Hill, a better year than Justin Jefferson, hey, I think we should give ourselves a pat on the back for motivating him.
He's the best receiver from his class, and that class includes Ja'Marr Chase, and that's maybe where the biggest debate is. St. Brown's best season last year was more productive than Chase's best season, right?
Yes, it was.
You're double checking if they're the same class.
Was Justin Jefferson the year after? I thought they came out the same year.
Jefferson and Chase, were they the same year? We could double check it. No, Chase was... Jefferson was the 2020 draft.
Okay, so he's the year before.
Year before.
Okay, all yes. Right. Yeah, right after. Okay, that's right, because it was right after the national championship run. It was the same
year as
Joe Burrow. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Okay. So St. Brown, best receiver in his class, and I had him fourth among all receivers. The only guys ahead of him were Jefferson and two other guys who were all pro last year. Mm-hmm. But by all means, anything we could do to help motivate the sun god, we're here to do that. Yep.
Do our part.
Do whatever we can. Ayuk was on that little game
exercise that we had.
Yeah. And he's in the news. Brandon Ayuk demanding to be traded from San Francisco. I had a couple thoughts. One, whether he's there or not, I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC. So I'm not overly concerned with whether or not he plays. I believe in this football team, regardless of whether or not Brandon Ayuk plays. And at this point, I kind of think he will play in San Francisco. Maybe it's a Chris Jones situation where he drags his feet all the way to the start of the season, misses a game. He'll play. Sooner rather than later, he'll play when the Lions face off in Week 17 and in a potential playoff game, and I'm not afraid of him. I think the Lions are the best roster in the NFC. I'm not afraid of San Francisco. Not hung up on last year, looking ahead to this year. So that's thing one. Thing two, it's kind of volatile in the NFC heavyweight picture right now. The Lions are the exception. Because I go through the list, and it's San Francisco, who now has the Ayuk thing to sort out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're an older roster running out of time. Dallas, another heavyweight. What's going on with Dak? What's going on with McCarthy?
CeeDee Lamb.
CeeDee Lamb.
What's a contract?
This is the all-in year. Doesn't feel like an all-in offseason, but a lot of guys whose futures are resting on this year in a high-pressurized situation in Dallas. The other heavyweight would be the Eagles, who I do think are going to have a bounce-back year, but they got to bounce back from a flatline finish where they lost a leader on the interior of the offensive and defensive lines, and Sirianni's name was on the hot seat at the end of last season. So you tell me, among all those heavyweights in the NFC, they all have some volatility. Meanwhile, the Lions, head down, everybody signed, going into camp, clear focus. So two observations. One, I'm loving everybody else dealing with volatility while the Lions don't. And the second point is, I love being in a position where my team's so good, I don't have to care if Ayuk plays or not. The Lions are good enough.
Yeah, and San Francisco and Dallas, like we know what's going on with Ayuk. Even without him, they've got Kittle, they've got Debo Samuel, they got Christian McCaffrey. They have other weapons at the wide receiver position, and they have other ways to be productive. Plus, it's very experienced. So while this is an issue, it is drama, I believe. And the big difference between the Lions and San Francisco right now isn't necessarily the talent level. It's the experience level. You've got some veteran players on both sides of the ball that can probably are more well-equipped to handle this situation in the locker room if it becomes a locker room issue than a lot of other teams. So I think they're well-equipped to handle it. I think if you just simply take Ayuk out of the equation, now what does that do for opening things up for George Kittle? What does it do for opening things up for Debo Samuel, Christian McCaffrey, whether it's in the run game or in the screen game? Because we mentioned it, Ayuk is that deep threat. He's the one that stretches the field. And so that's where I think this is a bigger issue for their offense and how it operates versus any type of locker room issue that this may or may not present. Because if he's not there, and you have one case where he's not there because he gets traded, he's not there because he sits out, or he's not there because he is in a contract year, and he doesn't want to go on the field at any point in time where he's not 100%.
Yeah, but, and I get that. T. Higgins was dealing with it. Eventually, you show up and you play the final year of your contract, even if it's on a franchise tag. Chris Jones, all the leverage in the world, right? Key piece to a Super Bowl defense. Eventually, your ass gets back on the field.
Everybody handles it differently.
But if I'm San Francisco, I don't think there's a trade I can make. Like, yeah, right. Maybe someone offers you a first and they're willing to pay him. I'm not going into the season without Ayuk because of what you mentioned, because he is the guy who adds the verticality to their offense. I think he was like 40% of all big plays were him down the field. He was their leading receiver, reception guy, target guy. They're not going to trade him. And I don't think they should, because what would they get? Pittsburgh sends him a first and a third. What the hell does that do? They're chasing a Super Bowl right now. Yeah. They're going to hold his feet to the fire. They're not going to trade him no matter what he says. They're going to say, we expect you on the field or you're not going to get paid.
So what's the argument for John Lynch? The argument for, in my opinion, for John Lynch is, we love you. We want you to be here. We want you to be a part of this. We want to go win a Super Bowl. And we want you, whether it's here or somewhere else, to go get you yourself as much money as possible. We just simply can't afford you. You are worth more than we can afford. And so you pump his tires up a little bit. You make him all of these different things that players want to hear. But the ultimate thing is he wants the contract. That's what he ultimately wants to hear. But I don't think that the 49ers can actually afford him. He is their best receiver, and they've already, a couple years ago, went through this with Deebo Samuel. They paid him. They've paid Christian McCaffrey. Yep. In fact, they paid him again. And the fact that their quarterback is coming up, pretty soon, because he doesn't have that fifth-year option. Brock Purdy, they've got to make a decision on him.
After this year.
I don't see them moving on from Brock Purdy, so that's a big paycheck coming as well. I just don't think they can afford him, and that needs to be the message. You are worth more than we're offering. We just can't afford to pay you. Now, going to the Eagles, this is where I'm only going to give a little bit of a pushback in terms of the drama. We don't know what was the cause of them completely falling apart in December and January and ultimately an early exit from the playoffs. And so that's kind of the wild card. Did they solve some of those issues in the locker room? Is Jalen Hurts the leader that we saw at Alabama, we saw early on in his career? They've paid him. They paid him to not only be the quarterback, but be the leader of this team.
Sure.
Can he be the guy that solves some of those issues as to why they fell apart, even though most of them were defensively?
John, I've talked about it. I think the Eagles are the biggest threat for the Lions in the NFC because of between the ears, Jalen Hurts, because Barkley with an upgraded offensive line, because Matt Patricia's no longer there. Right. You can work through the adversity that Philadelphia has. My point is they are on less stable ground. The Lions are the most stable NFC contender, period. I don't know how anybody can fight that the Lions are the most stable team in the fight in the NFC because of Ayuk, because of Dallas and what Dallas means with all of the baggage and the all-in season, and because of the way the Eagles finished the year. The team I left off, Green Bay. But I don't put them on that level yet. We're talking about teams that have played for Super Bowls or division champions. Green Bay has some instability, too. Did Jordan Love solidify that he's a franchise quarterback? I don't think so. That bonehead interception against San Francisco leaves some questions. A young receiver room leaves some questions. I don't put them on that heavyweight tier yet. They got to earn that.
We don't know if they were real because they did it so quick. They were 6-8.
Right. Okay?
They won 4 in a row, I believe, with their playoff game before losing San Francisco. And we've seen teams do that in the NFL, and you don't know if it's trustable. And it starts with the quarterback. It does. Right.
But were the Lions trustable when they started 1-6 and they went 9-8?
That's the key. Is a year ago, I wouldn't have said the Lions were a heavyweight.
Right.
So Green Bay, maybe a year from now, if they back it up and have a Lions-like season.
And make it to the NFC Championship game, that means that the Lions most likely aren't there.
Right, and then they can come up to the big kids' table, but they're not there right now.
I mean, usually when these teams get hot like this at the end of the year, it doesn't pan out to the way the Lions carried it the next year. Everybody says the seasons don't carry over.
Right. Momentum doesn't carry over year to year.
And so we just need to see a little more. None of us are discounting them. We just need to see more. I need more evidence.
My point about talking about the Eagles, though, is I think they're the team going into this year. Maybe you could say Baltimore, but I think they're the team going into this year with the biggest chip on their shoulder. Ooh. Because of, at one point last year, they were far and away the favorite to have the number one seed in the NFC because of the three-week stretch that San Francisco had. They lost three in a row. It started Debo with that hurt. Game in Cleveland. Yeah. It was, Trent Williams was hurt. Debo was hurt. And then those guys came back, and they put on that push. But with 10 games into the season, it was the Philadelphia Eagles that were sitting in the catbird seat. They fell apart. And I think they're coming into this year with adding to that offensive line, with adding to, I know that they took away an all-pro center, but Cam Jurgens, I think, is going to fill that role extremely well. They add Saquon Barkley, and this is a team that I think is going into the year with last year was the one-off. They've got a gigantic chip on their shoulder and something to prove.
You realize before last season, they were talked about as maybe the best roster in football.
Yeah.
Because of Howie Roseman, the GM, and what they've done. The roster is still really, really good out in Philadelphia. And I know we're not doing Philly radio. My only point was there is more volatility in Philly than Detroit. There is more stability with our football team than any of the NFC contemporaries. Texter says, why stop at the NFC? We won't. We can continue the conversation coming up next. 97.1.
Founders Brewing Company has been making high-quality beers right here in Michigan for over 25 years. With a focus on using the highest quality ingredients, you can always count on Founders to deliver extraordinary quality in everything they release. I've had a chance to talk to a number of people at Founders, and that is the one thing that they stress. They want the best quality in everything that they do. And if it's not up to their par, they're not going to put it out. With that focus on quality, they set out to create a beer that lets you have it all. And that's All Day IPA. It's right in the name. Here's what you're going to get in the beer. It's a refreshing and deliciously flavorful beer, easy drinking, and high quality. All Day IPA is an IPA that is naturally brewed with an array of malts, grains, and hops, creating a delicious citrusy taste and a clean finish. It's the perfect beer for anyone looking to make the ordinary extraordinary and the good times great. Speaking of great times, we've got a lot of them coming up. Fall camp is about to start. Rookies report on Saturday. College football at the end of the month. All Day IPA is the perfect beer for anyone on game days, especially if you're tailgating. Visit foundersbrewing.com to find All Day IPA. All Day IPA, it's all in the taste. Founders Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan. For 21 years old or older, please drink responsibly.
Your reaction to Brandon Ayuk demanding a trade? Mine? Lions are the most stable NFC contender. This Ayuk business, running out of steam, running out of gas, running out of time in the Bay Area, and that could end up being messy, although I do think eventually he'll play. I'd rather have the Lions roster looking ahead. I think the Eagles have some volatility. The Cowboys have some volatility. There is instability atop the NFC, and the one exception, our Detroit Lions. Some ticket texters. This one says, disregarding Green Bay is foolish. Well,
I don't think we're...
They're a playoff team. I can show them the respect, but I don't put them in the same category as the teams that have played in Super Bowls and NFC titles recently. I mean, is that really disrespectful or disregarding them?
It's hard to reconcile the two games that the Lions had with the Packers last year. They go to Green Bay early in the season and physically manhandle them. And then on Thanksgiving Day, Green Bay comes here and they started off with their foot on the gas and never let up. And the Lions had no response. And for the most part, the Green Bay in the last 6 weeks of the season, that's what they did, not just to the Lions, but to everybody else. That was their mindset. Now, the Lions have addressed some of those situations and some of the reasons why Green Bay was able to do that against them, but it doesn't mean that they'll be able to stop them.
I said we talk stability across the league. The Chiefs probably are the most stable team. Mahomes, Kelsey, Chris Jones, paid, taken care of. Some new receivers in the room, but I don't think that's instability. I think it's exciting for them that they may have more options with Worthy and Hollywood Brown. So they're probably the most stable team. And then you'd say the Ravens are pretty stable too. But I think in the NFC, the Lions are the most stable. Texter says on the biggest chip on their shoulder, you said the Eagles and the Ravens are the two teams that maybe have the biggest chip on their shoulder. Why don't the Lions have the biggest chip on their shoulder after blowing a lead in the NFC title game, Tom, in Flat Rock?
Well, motivation comes in a lot of different forms. The Lions, outperformed what most people thought. In fact, almost everybody thought that they would do last year. Yes, they had a bad loss at the end when you're up 17 in the NFC Championship game, especially when it's on the road and it was in San Francisco. There's a lot of ways to make that a motivating factor for this year. I say the chip on the shoulder was because Philadelphia was, going into the season last year, the team that was picked to represent the NFC by most people in the Super Bowl. It was a team that was in the catbird seat. They were sitting pretty in 10 weeks into the season as the number one seed going into the playoffs. And they eventually made it, but they had the early exit and everything fell apart at the end. And if you ask people in Philly, especially the team, the players, everything that's coming out, that wasn't representative of the team that they were. And so the chip on the shoulder comes from underperforming, whereas the Lions, most people felt like they overperformed. We picked them to win the North. We picked them to win a playoff game, but not necessarily make it the NFC Championship.
I thought
game.
The Eagles were an example last year of team got away from what they do. And it was immaturity all the way to the top with Nick Sirianni. The coordinator transition. Well, now, you know, there's more cohesiveness another year later. I just think for the Lions, I don't know if there's been a more unified team chip on the shoulder in quite a while in this league, because they've basically returned the team other than the secondary to a degree. Everybody's back. Most players on this roster have that taste in their mouth. Maybe Dan Campbell relates to Terrion Arnold. Well, you got that taste from the Michigan loss or something. You know, he's trying to just find everybody to get that taste. Versus the Eagles, you know, the team that's there has one chip, but then Saquon is bringing a chip.
Right.
A different chip. So it's going to be interesting to see what. I think you can buy both sides of the argument,
sure.
Both teams.
Sure.
248-539-9797. 902, we're going to go Tigers fact or fiction receipts from the first half of the season. John, you might want to cover your ears.
Yeah, it was a bad showing.
We'll get to that top of the hour. Before the top of the hour, you want to call me out for something? We'll do that. We've got 835, Dabo Swinney weighing in on unintended consequences. Big headline. We'll get to that at 835. But first, Heather with the news.
Well, the Detroit People Mover will be shut down for 11 weeks after Labor Day so that they can replace sections of the track that are actually original to the 37-year-old system. So it's expected to reopen before Thanksgiving. And they say, in addition to expanding the life of, obviously, the People Mover, the track replacement should mean a smoother and quieter ride as well in the future. Officials say that closing the system rather than just doing the work like overnight when it's not in use is planned because of the complexity of the process. I mean, they've got to take chunks of the track out, bring new tracks in. I mean, it makes sense that you have to close the whole thing down.
Yeah. Is this the best time of year to do it? Because I think about football season, Labor Day, Lions games, no People Mover. I there may be not a good time to do this.
When's the best time to tear up 696? Telegraph, Southfield.
Every road in Metro Detroit. No, I get what you're saying, but it's got to get done, and they're going to get it done, so do it now. The Livingston County Health Department has shut down Ore Lake after a sewage spill over the weekend. Yeah, pretty nasty. On Sunday morning, officials learned of this sewer break, and it was also determined that significant amount of sewage was flowing into this lake. So officials say that all of this sewage has stopped flowing, gushing. Repairs are ongoing. The water activities ban remains in effect until water testing for E. coli levels in the lake is completed and the water is deemed safe.
If they could only figure that out in France.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, swimming in the Seine doesn't sound like it's going to happen.
A week from Friday, the Olympics start. Come on, guys.
Just maybe just, you know, upset stomach, diarrhea, fever, rash, eye infections.
Sounds like
I don't
a good
know.
Time.
Yeah.
But for a gold medal, you know, what are you willing to take? I don't know.
Do you love your country or not?
Yeah. Let's see. After their fourth day of deliberating, jurors in the Samantha Walt murder trial were sent home and told to come back on Thursday. One of them has a child care issue, so they got the day off today. They're going to go back tomorrow. They will have one more day to reach a verdict before a mistrial is declared. The judge is really hoping that's not the case.
Yeah.
But We'll see. The jury has told the judge several times that they're just deadlocked on some of the charges. Yeah. So there was some movement on Tuesday. So hopefully they'll get to their verdict tomorrow. After being handcuffed and removed from a flight, United Airlines is now apologizing and acknowledging that Terrell Davis was mistreated. So in a statement, United said, "This is clearly not the kind of travel experience we strive to provide, and we have reached out to Mr. Davis's team to apologize. We have removed the flight attendant from duty while we closely review this matter." I'm guessing Mr. Davis is still speaking with his lawyer, so
yeah, I'm sure
yes, that letter is still on its way to United. Finally, there's a new study that says men with beards may be more stable romantic partners.
Oh, interesting. Why?
I mean, Greg's,
we all have some facial hair.
You have some facial hair. Greg's got the beard, though. If you're going to say, I mean,
yeah, his
got
beard
facial
is,
hair, but yes. he's got
yeah, his
a
much
good
fuller,
beard. So
he's got a good beard. He's a better married man.
Yeah, apparently. It says men with beards aren't necessarily looking for a new partner. They're keeping the one they have.
But it doesn't say anything about the quality of beard, right?
It does a it talked about more than just stubble. Like you need to have.
Right. Yeah. It's not just a 5 o'clock shadow.
Exactly.
It's got to actually be a commitment.
Yes, exactly. And that's actually what they say it is. There's more work that goes into maintaining the beard and keeping it, fresh and clean and looking good. Even though it does take work to shave every day if you don't want the beard, they say it's more work and a commitment to keeping a beard.
John, yours is a nice try.
I'm not going to disagree. It's patchy at best. I agree.
Colin just
I didn't was taking a shot at you, but
Colin shaved his beard. He had a big beard. I mean, like yours, Greg, but a little different. And our daughter is still scared of him a little bit.
Still adjusting.
Yeah.
Is that really daddy?
I mean, she hasn't seen him without a beard in
ever.
Her life.
Yeah.
Would you say he's a worse husband now that he's shaved?
A worse husband?
Yeah, because
yeah. Looking for somebody else. He's done. Yeah. His commitment is over.
Oh,
apparently, shaved the beard. I haven't seen him with a
clean
shaven face in.
So it's all gone.
Yeah, like and it's like a baby face.
I don't know if I've ever seen him without.
It's like a baby face. Like he looks. I mean, like he looks different. No, he looks so different. If you've always had, if you were to shave
jarring.
Your face completely, you would look very different.
That's Heather with the
it
news.
Is, it's jarring.
Coming up next.
Does it make him look taller?
It does. No, I don't know, John.
Coming up next.
Oh, you look 6 foot.
Wow.
Dabo Swinney, the unintended consequences of the direction of the sport. Dabo complains. Do you agree with him? It's 97.1. We got some Tigers fact or fiction receipts to get to at 9:02. Not kind to one John Jansen. We are a day removed from the All-Star break. We are looking ahead to the second half of the season later this week. We're also looking ahead to football season. I don't know if you've picked up on that. We're excited.
Oh, yeah.
Dabo Swinney. Often one to rail against change in college football. John, he's at it again. I want to know if this is overblown or if this is a real fear that college football fans have. Dabo Swinney talking about unintended consequences of expansion. He says you're probably going to see guys who, if they're on a 4-4 team and out of the playoff picture, they'll head off to Arizona and trade for the NFL. You'll see situations like in the NFL, where if the Ravens are in the playoffs and they have it locked up, do you play Lamar Jackson in that game? Maybe you're 11-0, you have a rivalry game, but your biggest game is actually the next week in the conference title game. So these are things you'll see play out throughout college football. He calls them unintended consequences. Is this a big deal?
Well, we've seen unintended consequences with every change in the college athletics, not just college football, but the college athletics landscape. And I think that it really opened our eyes when they came out with the 4-game redshirt rule, where you could play 4 games and then you could still maintain your redshirt. And was it Derek King was kind of the first one who was at Miami? Was he
Houston and Miami? And he was
everywhere. Yeah, and then he made the promise to his coach, yeah, no, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to save myself till we're better next year. And then as soon as the season was over, he entered the transfer portal and was done in Miami. That was something that nobody really saw coming, or at least most people didn't see coming. In regards to the expansion of the college football playoffs, if you're not a team that's going to get a seat at the table and you're, you know, 8 games into the season, you're a possible first-round pick, are you going to take the rest of the season off? I mean, we already saw, was it Nick Bosa
yeah,
do it at Ohio State. Now, it was injury-related. There was reports that by the end of the season, he could have been back. He was also a captain of the team, which felt at the time like you anticipated that he was at least going to stay on campus, still remain a part of the team. He didn't. He decided to disenroll from or unenroll from school, remove himself from the team.
So this is a continuation of things we've already seen. Guys would opt out of bowl games.
Step.
Yeah, yeah, we've seen it. I mean, guys would opt out of the Rose Bowl. I remember when that first started happening. It was the sanctity of the Rose Bowl has been forever ruined. John, I know you're more of a purist, maybe not quite on the Karshian level of this, but how does it sit with you? Like, how would you feel? We have to make this real. It's Michigan. It's Ohio State. And you're sitting somebody in that game because you don't want him to get hurt because you have a more important game in the conference title. Oh, because the conference title game could impact whether you have home field, whether you have a bye week, one fewer game to win a national title. How would you feel if a guy didn't play and it was strategic in that game, the game? Because that's kind of what Dabo's getting at. He's trying to get you right at your heartstrings, right? Your big rivalry, the game that makes the sport special, and you're going to have guys not playing in it.
That's why we call it rivalry weekend. And that's because everybody saves their best, their most important game, their biggest one where its fans are going to be involved, TV viewership. All I mean, this goes to, you know, broadcast rights as well. Part of the, you know, why the Big Ten was able to score such a great broadcast deal was because of the game. It's Michigan, Ohio State. It's the most viewed college football game. It's at least one of the top two every single year.
Yep.
Even with when Michigan was losing 17 in a row, it was still one of the most viewed games. And now that this rivalry has returned, it would break my heart to know that somebody was sitting out a game that was healthy or was just on the fringe of, I got a little bit of I want a alignment with a broken finger, right? That to me is something that every lineman should play with, especially in that game. And guys have done that before because that game had so much meaning.
But some of the meaning is going to get lost certain years, certain times.
It's just a continuation and it's the next step. And there's two things going on. One, it's a team that's completely out of it. And there are players on those teams that decide, you know what, I've got bigger things, better things going on. I'm going to go start training for the combine. I'm going to start training for my pro day, all of these different things. Are they even invited back for their pro day at that point? But that's one situation. The other one is the one that you're bringing up right now in regards to at the end of the year, rivalry weekend. And it doesn't matter if you're Michigan, Michigan State, you know, and part of this is rivalry weekend is not going to be the same anyway.
So
there's no bedlam.
No, there's no bedlam.
There's no Apple Cup.
I know.
And nobody here cares about Apple Cup, but we're talking about different parts of the country.
Part of the fabric of the sport, the soul of the sport.
Yeah. And rivalries in college football is where a lot of the soul of this sport lies. And you start stripping away more and more. And I understand the theory of saving your stud players like we see in the NFL. And it's always a debate at the end of the season. Should they sit Peyton Manning or play him? Should they sit, you know, we haven't been here in Detroit because we haven't been in that position, but should they sit Jared Goff knowing that you've got, you know, the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings?
Yes, you would absolutely want them to sit Jared Goff in week 18 if they can't improve their seeding at all. If they are locked into the 1, the 2, the 3, they can't move up. I don't want Goff or any of the key players getting hurt in a, quote, meaningless week 18 game. But it's so weird to hear Michigan, Ohio State viewed in the context of that meaningless game in Columbus at the end of the season. Your brain isn't wired that way.
No.
You said your heart breaks. I think this is a big adjustment for some in the sport, but the train has already left the station.
Yeah.
I think this is a little overblown from Dabo in the sense that the good outweighs the bad to me. The best players will still play in the biggest games. The biggest games are changing. There are more of them populated throughout the regular season because of conference expansion. The SEC has better matchups with Texas and Oklahoma in the mix. The Big Ten has better matchups with USC and Oregon in the regular season. And the biggest games now aren't going to be your rivalry weekend. They're going to be the epic college football playoff where we're going to see better games. You're still going to get the best players in the biggest games. It's just changing. And it's why I would ask you, if you want to preserve these rivalries, John, how badly do you want to do it? Do we need to have the conversation of pushing Michigan, Ohio State to earlier in the season? Where you do preserve some more of the meaning.
It also comes down to, how are you even preparing for the season? Because we've heard, obviously coming out of Columbus, you know, and everything that they have going on in their football building is geared at, what are you doing to beat Michigan today? Jim Harbaugh is famously known for, you know, hey, you start the Ohio State period during every single practice, during every single day of the year. You have something that's focused on Ohio State. Then it was the Georgia drill. It was all of these different things. But if you are hammering this home as a coach, as a program, you are programming your players that this is what we are ultimately training for, and then you get to that game and you're like, JJ, I'm not going to play in this game.
Blake Corum,
we're not going to play in this game.
The week after is more important. We're already locked into a spot in the Big Ten title. But they wouldn't be wrong. The coaches wouldn't be wrong to say the Big Ten title game is more important than the Ohio State game.
But then you have
to
change your programming throughout the course of the year, because you can't continue to preach that that's the biggest thing.
Then adapt. And I don't think, Dabo's afraid because he's one of the guys that doesn't want to adapt.
Michigan lived this last year.
Sure.
When did Zach Zinter get hurt? In the Ohio State game. Now, it ultimately didn't cost them because of their depth at that position and the fact that they were able to fill the hole and still be able to go on and be successful, but it could have.
It's all going to be situational. I think you're going to see it on the back end still, where, let's just say, 6-5 Michigan goes to Columbus this year. I'm just saying a hypothetical, okay? And Will Johnson decides not to play. That's really no different than we've already seen. We've seen Ohio State players do it.
Right.
You know, but on the other end, I do think it's going to, I think it'll be really hard for a team to have a bye clinched before rivalry week.
Right. We're talking about a very small sample size or situation.
There's still going to be that bye to play for. Yes. You're going to be living in a pretty unique season to have a bye clinch when you still have two games left to play. You see what I'm saying? Because that's two losses.
Because even if you think you're the 6 seed, you might want to be playing for the 2 seed, because then you get
exactly
the bye.
But the next week, let's say Michigan, Ohio State are 12-0, and let's just say Michigan wins and they've clinched a top 4 seed. They don't have to play opening week in the playoff. And they play Ohio State again in the Big Ten championship game, and Will Johnson decides not to play.
But the Big Ten championship game is what puts you in that 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed.
Correct. So you've got to win that championship game?
To get a 1, 2, 3, or 4. They're the automatic bids. Why Notre Dame can never be a 1 through 4.
And that's part of the compromise, because people thought the expansion would water down conference championships. No, they still matter, because that's the only way to guarantee a spot. But more importantly, if you're already in, guarantee yourself.
Right.
So the home field or a bye.
Where it becomes the issue is, if you've already guaranteed yourself in the Big Ten or conference championship game, say Michigan is playing Ohio State, and Ohio State, and it's between Michigan and Oregon, that matchup has already been set, but the results of that Michigan-Ohio State game are not going to make any difference in Michigan going. Does Michigan sit the quarterback? Do they sit 3 offensive linemen?
Well, that's Ohio State. I mean, if you're playing
Ohio State's not going to.
If you're both guaranteed to play the next week in the Big Ten championship game.
No. I just said Ohio State's out of it, right? They're playing. It's Michigan, Oregon. Michigan's already predetermined that they're going to be. Ohio State has to win the game.
What I'm saying is, you could have a situation where the game doesn't matter for either team.
Right. And in that situation, you could see both sides resting players. So these are the unintended consequences. There are scenarios, slim as they may be, where this may come bubble to the surface as early as this season. Dabo Swinney sounding the alarm on the changes in college football. What's your reaction to it? Is this overblown, or are these real concerns that you have in the new age of college football? We'll get to Tigers Fact or Fiction at 9:02. John wants to give me a hard time about College Football 25 next. It's 97.1.
Hey, why not dive into the best pool in history as we talk about these great matchups, these great games? Stadium Swim. and it's located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. You can chill at one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen at Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch football and every single sport. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy daybeds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircleLasVegas.com.
We're talking unintended consequences. Dabo Swinney says you're going to see more NFL business decisions. .97 We got some Tigers fact or fiction receipts to get to at 9:02. Not kind to one John Jansen. We are a day removed from the All-Star break. We are looking ahead to the second half of the season later this week. We're also looking ahead to football season. I don't know if you've picked up on that. We're excited.
Oh, yeah.
Dabo Swinney, often one to rail against change in college football. Johnny's at it again. And I want to know if this is overblown or if this is a real fear that college football fans have. Dabo Swinney talking about unintended consequences of expansion. He says you're probably going to see guys who, if they're on a 4-4 team and out of the playoff picture, they'll head off to Arizona and trade for the NFL. You'll see situations like in the NFL, where if the Ravens are in the playoffs and they have it locked up, do you play Lamar Jackson in that game? Maybe you're 11-0, you have a rivalry game, but your biggest game is actually the next week in the conference title game. So these are things you'll see play out throughout college football. He calls them unintended consequences. Is this a big deal?
Well, we've seen unintended consequences with every change in the college athletics, not just college football, but the college athletics landscape. And I think that it really opened our eyes when they came out with the four-game redshirt rule, where you could play four games and then you could still maintain your redshirt. Was it De'Aaron King was kind of the first one who was at my was he
Houston and Miami, and he was
Houston,
everywhere.
Yeah, and then he made the promise to his coach, yeah, no, I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just going to save myself till we're better next year. And then as soon as the season was over, he entered the transfer portal and was done in Miami. That was something that nobody really saw coming, or at least most people didn't see coming. In regards to the expansion of the college football playoffs, if you're not a team that's going to get a seat at the table, and you're, you know, eight games into the season, you're a possible first-round pick, are you going to take the rest of the season off? I mean, we already saw, was it Nick Bosa?
Bosa, yeah.
Do it at Ohio State. Now, it was injury-related. There was reports that by the end of the season, he could have been back. He was also a captain of the team, which felt at the time like you anticipated that he was at least going to stay on campus, still remain a part of the team. He didn't. He decided to disenroll from or unenroll from school, remove himself from the team.
So this is a continuation of things we've already seen. Guys would opt out of bowl games.
Step.
Yeah, yeah, we've seen it. I mean, guys would opt out of the Rose Bowl. I remember when that first started happening. It was the sanctity of the Rose Bowl has been forever ruined. John, I know you're more of a purist, maybe not quite on the Karshian level of this, but how does it sit with you? Like, how would you feel? We have to make this real. It's Michigan. It's Ohio State. And you're sitting somebody in that game because you don't want him to get hurt because you have a more important game in the conference title. Because the conference title game could impact whether you have home field, whether you have a bye week, one fewer game to win a national title. How would you feel if a guy didn't play and it was strategic in that game, the game? Because that's kind of what Dabo's getting at. He's trying to get you right at your heartstrings, right? Your big rivalry, the game that makes the sport special, and you're going to have guys not playing in it.
That's why we call it rivalry weekend. And that's because everybody saves their best, their most important game, their biggest one where its fans are going to be involved, TV viewership. All I mean, this goes to, you know, broadcast rights as well. Part of the, you know, why the Big Ten was able to score such a great broadcast deal was because of the game. It's Michigan, Ohio State. It's the most viewed college football game It's at least one of the top two every single year.
Yep.
Even with when Michigan was losing 17 in a row, it was still one of the most viewed games. And now that this rivalry has returned, it would break my heart to know that somebody was sitting out a game that was healthy or was just on the fringe of, I got a little bit of a, you know, maybe I want a alignment with a broken finger. Right, that to me is something that every lineman should play with, especially in that game. And guys have done that before because that game had so much meaning.
But some of the meaning is going to get lost certain years, certain times.
It's just a continuation, and it's the next step. And there's two things going on. One, it's a team that's completely out of it, and there are players on those teams that decide, you know what, I've got bigger things, better things going on. I'm going to go start training for the combine. I'm going to start training for my pro day. All of these different things. Are they even invited back for their pro day at that point? But that's one situation. The other one is the one that you're bringing up right now in regards to at the end of the year, rivalry weekend. And it doesn't matter if you're Michigan, Michigan State, you know, and part of this is rivalry weekend is not going to be the same anyway.
So
there's no bedlam.
No, there's no bedlam.
There's no Apple Cup.
I know.
And nobody here cares about Apple Cup, but we're talking about different parts of the country.
Part of the fabric of the sport, the soul of the sport.
Yeah. And rivalries in college football is where a lot of the soul of this sport lies. And you start stripping away more and more. And I understand the theory of saving your stud players like we see in the NFL. And it's always a debate at the end of the season. Should they sit Peyton Manning or play him? Should they sit, you know, we haven't been here in Detroit because we haven't been in that position, but should they sit Jared Goff knowing that you've got, you know, the Bears, the Packers, the Vikings?
Yes, you would absolutely want them to sit Jared Goff in week 18 if they can't improve their seeding at all. If they are locked into the 1, the 2, the 3, they can't move up. I don't want Goff or any of the key players getting hurt in a, quote, meaningless week 18 game. But it's so weird to hear Michigan, Ohio State viewed in the context of that meaningless game in Columbus at the end of the season. Your brain isn't wired that way.
No.
You said your heart breaks. I think this is a big adjustment for some in the sport, but the train has already left the station.
Yeah,
I think this is a little overblown from Dabo in the sense that the good outweighs the bad to me. The best players will still play in the biggest games. The biggest games are changing. There are more of them populated throughout the regular season because of conference expansion. The SEC has better matchups with Texas and Oklahoma in the mix. The Big Ten has better matchups with USC and Oregon in the regular season. And the biggest games now aren't going to be your rivalry weekend. They're going to be the epic college football playoff where we're going to see better games. You're still going to get the best players in the biggest games. It's just changing. And it's why I would ask you, if you want to preserve these rivalries, John, how badly do you want to do it? Do we need to have the conversation of pushing Michigan, Ohio State to earlier in the season?
Well,
to where you do preserve some more of the meaning.
It also comes down to how are you even preparing for the season? Because we've heard, obviously coming out of Columbus, you know, and everything that they have going on in their football building is geared at what are you doing to beat Michigan today? Jim Harbaugh is famously known for, you know, hey, you start the Ohio State period during every single practice, during every single day of the year. You have something that's focused on Ohio State. Then it was the Georgia drill. It was all of these different things. But if you are hammering this home as a coach, as a program, you are programming your players that this is what we are ultimately training for. And then you get to that game and you're like, JJ, I'm not going to play in this game.
It's not important.
Blake Corum, we're not going to play in this game.
The week after is more important. We're already locked into a spot in the Big Ten title. But they wouldn't be wrong. The coaches wouldn't be wrong to say the Big Ten title game is more important than the Ohio State game.
But then you have to change your programming throughout the course of the year because you can't continue to preach that that's the biggest thing.
Then adapt. And I think Dabo's afraid because he's one of the guys that doesn't want to adapt.
Michigan lived this last year.
Sure.
When did Zach Zinter get hurt? In the Ohio State game. Now, it ultimately didn't cost them because of their depth at that position and the fact that they were able to fill the hole and still be able to go on and be successful, but it could have.
I mean, it's all going to be situational. I think you're going to see it on the back end still where, let's just say, 6-5 Michigan goes to Columbus this year. I'm just saying a hypothetical, okay? And Will Johnson decides not to play. That's really no different than we've already seen. We've seen Ohio State players do it.
Right.
You know, but on the other end, I do think it's going to, I think it'll be really hard for a team to have a bye clinched before rivalry week.
Right. We're talking about a very small
because
sample size or situation.
There's still going to be that bye to play for. Yes. I don't, you're going to be living in a pretty unique season to have that, have a bye clinch when you still have two games left to play. You see what I'm saying? Because that's two losses.
Because even if you think you're the sixth seed, you might want to be playing for the two seed because then you get
exactly
the bye.
But right. The next week, let's say Michigan, Ohio State are 12-0, and let's just say Michigan wins and they've clinched a top four seed. They don't have to play opening week in the playoff. And they play Ohio State again in the Big Ten championship game. And Will Johnson decides not to play.
But the Big Ten championship game is what puts you in that 1, 2, 3, or 4 seed.
Correct. So you've got to win that championship game?
To get a 1, 2, 3, or 4. They're the automatic bids. That's why Notre Dame can never be a 1 through 4.
And that's part of the compromise because people thought the expansion would water down conference championships. No, they still matter because that's the only way to guarantee a spot. But more importantly, if you're already in, guarantee yourself.
Right.
So the home field or a bye.
So where it becomes the issue is if you've already guaranteed yourself in the Big Ten or conference championship game, say Michigan is playing Ohio State, and Ohio State, and it's between Michigan and Oregon. That matchup has already been set, but the results of that Michigan-Ohio State game are not going to make any difference in Michigan going. Does Michigan sit the quarterback? Do they sit three offensive linemen?
Well, that's Ohio State. I mean, if you're playing
Ohio State's not going to.
If you're both guaranteed to play the next week in the Big Ten championship game.
I just said Ohio State's out of it, right? They're playing. It's Michigan, Oregon. Michigan's already predetermined that they're going to be make it. Ohio State has to win the game.
What I'm saying is you could have a situation where the game doesn't matter for either team.
Right, and in that situation, you could see both sides resting players. So these are the unintended consequences. There are scenarios, slim as they may be, where this may come bubble to the surface as early as this season. Dabo Swinney sounding the alarm on the changes in college football. What's your reaction to it? Is this overblown, or are these real concerns that you have in the new age of college football? We'll get to Tigers Fact or Fiction at 9:02. John wants to give me a hard time about College Football 25 next. It's 97.1.
Hey, why not dive into the best pool in history as we talk about these great matchups, these great games? Stadium Swim. And it's located at Circa Resort and Casino. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. You can chill at one of the six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of the massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen at Stadium Swim. It's America's favorite place to watch football and every single sport. Swim-up bars, Insta-ready selfie walls, and one nonstop party. Score your perfect game day spot with cozy daybeds, private cabanas, or grab a lounge at the center of the action. You can reserve your spot today. It's 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today at CircleLasVegas.com.
We're talking unintended consequences. Dabo Swinney says you're going to see more NFL business decisions in college football with the expanded playoff. The idea that you could rest somebody in a rivalry game in Week 12 because the conference title is more important. The idea that you might have a guy on your team when you're 4-4 who says, we can't make the playoff. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a jump start on my NFL career. Some of this has already been happening. To me, this is not some sounding of the alarm. The best players will play in the biggest games. The biggest games might not be the rivalry games, which I think is what may hurt some people. But it's why I threw out, and Ticket Texters have echoed it, well, just move the rivalry week then. Because now, if you hear me out, John.
Right. No, I know
your tradition in the final week of the regular season. But October is beautiful fall weather, right? As the leaves turn, we schedule right before Halloween. That becomes rivalry week. Then there's no, we already have a spot locked up. Now we have to play our guys. Now the game doesn't lose any meaning. That's the only other workaround. Or you just accept the fact that some years the business decision is, hey, Ohio State or our biggest rival, if you're not a Michigan fan, whoever you're playing in rivalry weekend, it's not as important as winning a Big Ten title because a Big Ten title gives you a bye week.
Right.
And that's more important. One less game and a gauntlet to win a national title. I used to do this bit with Michigan fans where before they beat Ohio State, some of them would say, we'd rather beat Ohio State than win a Big Ten title. And I never understood that. You want to win championships. Ideally, it's by beating your rival along the way, but it's always going to be more important to win a national title or a Big Ten title. And it's why Michigan pivoted last year to the Georgia thing, right? The Georgia drill. Well, that became the expectation.
Didn't go away. We added
no,
that.
No, but
we didn't go away from preparing
say,
for
Ohio
State.
I didn't say go away, but there was a pivot to focusing on loftier goals, right?
Yeah. And the part of why I hate this discussion is because I know I'm on the losing side of it. Will they eventually move the rivalry game to sometime in October? Yes, they eventually will. I will disagree with it from now until my last breath. I don't want that. I want it to be, I want to hold on to every single tradition that we possibly can. And I understand that's old school thinking. I'm allowed to have my opinion and want those old school traditions, but I know that they are every year that goes by, every month that goes by, it's more and more likely that they're going to move that game earlier in the season, not because of the weather and the beautiful fall and the changing
Come on,
of the leaves.
John.
That's all BS.
Cool, crisp
it's
in the air.
It's the fact that it matters more and you're going to have more of the important players playing in that. And you want to, if you're going to preserve some of the meaning of the game, yeah, you will move it earlier and it's going to hurt.
I think the fall foliage matters more than you think, John.
John, that's a
says a guy from the middle of Michigan.
I think that's the first time you admitted that it's
going to happen.
Like you've come to the realization you're fighting a losing battle. And the reason I think you're saying that is because you look at Ohio State, Michigan, and we're talking about possibly devaluing the biggest game in college football. Well, the way you make it valuable is to put it in mid-October at 8 o'clock at night, and you sell it to the highest bidder.
Now, hold on. I'll let him compromise. You can play it at noon, but you got to move it into the hearty middle of the season.
John, you know how valuable that is if you put that up for broadcast rights?
Oh, I know.
As
John's pointed out, it's one of the highest. It is the most watched game every single season.
Yeah.
So it's an important decision for TV networks, which we know are driving the bus too.
It's so painful. It really is.
I don't want to gloss over it.
I'm disgusted by where we're at. But it is, we know the sport, it's all driven by money. And if you're going to say to a broadcast partner, to the Big Ten, they come and they offer you, hey, instead of paying you $20 million a piece for this game, we'll pay you $35.
Yeah.
But you have to move it to the first week in October. I mean, it's going to happen. And it's only going to take one, maybe 2 years, because everything in college football, even though it seems like it's in hyperdrive right now, some of the traditions are really, really hard to give up on. It's eventually going to happen because if what happens with Dabo Sweeney's, if it all comes true, which it eventually will, and you have important players in that game sit out. And again, it only takes one time. And maybe it's 5 years from now, maybe it's 10 years from now. Whenever it happens, it will be moved.
Why is it a bad thing, though? Like, hear me out on this. You start a new tradition where we get the best of both worlds, where we get more meaningful games throughout the regular season, because now you're going to play Oregon and USC and Washington more often, bigger games on your regular season slate. You're going to get a 12-team playoff where you're going to get one or two more big games on your season slate.
I understand new traditions. In 50 years, that'll be great.
Okay.
But the whole the upbringing that I've had, the breeding that I've had in regards to, I would watch, like, it's already painful enough to know that the Rose Bowl really isn't the granddaddy of them all. And it's not played on January 1st every year. It's not always, and it never will be again, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, Pac-8, Pac-10. It's never going to happen again because the Pac-10, the Pacific Conference, doesn't even exist.
Two teams for now. Two teams, Oregon State and Washington
State. Here's one thing I do want to disagree with you a little bit about, is that I don't think it's that these things happen, is that the opportunities happened before and we really haven't seen it to this mass effect. Teams are going 4-4. They might opt out, but we haven't seen it now. Why would that change now?
Correct. Well, that's that half of Dabo's thing I'm not as concerned about. It's the rivalry game at the end and strategic opt-outs for conference title games. I think that's more likely than the other
before
one.
Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, before they made that decision, that's the watershed moment. We didn't see it before that. We've seen it more and more now for bowl games. And it's just the progression that players will take. It's they're going to take everything that they possibly can, whether it's transfer, whether it's NIL, whether it's becoming employees, whatever the benefit is, until there is a union, until it is collectively bargained, it's a free-for-all, and players will eventually opt out. If they're 4-4, players will eventually opt out of the rest of the season because to them, what does it matter? They've got, in their minds, everyone's going to the NFL. Everybody thinks they have greener pastures next year.
But is that because the playoff is expanding, or is it just the evolution of what's
going on? It's just the evolution.
Correct. The playoff expansion, the impact one is the
it may accelerate it.
Finale of the season.
But I would disagree a little bit about that too. Like, because the rivalry games are the biggest games, and those are the flipping of whether you're going to a conference championship game or not. And the expanded conferences, a lot of tiebreakers and a lot of teams to fight through in this.
Your point is you're incentivized to win that game.
Yes, I still believe so.
Even in this new system. Ticket Tech says, what does the new football coach at Marshall think about Dabo Swinney's comments?
That's right. You've already discarded very true to yourself, you said, all I am trying to do is take on a program, one of the worst in college football. I want to be the offensive coordinator to earn my right to go to a bigger program, one on the mainland, and you have already made that shift.
I have played too much of the game. I think that's the key takeaway. I am already a season deep. I have left Hawaii. I am now the head coach of the Thundering Herd at Marshall, my first head coaching opportunity. Your takeaway was, how have you already played a whole season?
Yeah.
And my response is, it's a really good game. But I know I got to dial it back. I have to be an adult, a human being. We're getting in the middle of the week. Well,
let's see if that addiction. Addictions are real.
Yeah. Stay tuned. All right, we got Fact or Fiction Receipts Edition from the first half of the Tiger season. That's after the update. It's 97.1. We're talking unintended consequences. Dabo Swinney says you're going to see more NFL business decisions in college football with the expanded playoff. The idea that you could rest somebody in a rivalry game in week 12 because the conference title is more important. The idea that you might have a guy on your team when you're 4-4 who says, we can't make the playoff. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a jump start on my NFL career. Some of this has already been happening. To me, this is not some sounding of the alarm. The best players will play in the biggest games. The biggest games might not be the rivalry games, which I think is what may hurt some people. But it's why I threw out, and Ticket Texters have echoed it, well, just move the rivalry week then. Because now, if you hear me out, John.
Right. No, I know
your tradition in the final week of the regular season. But October is beautiful fall weather, right? As the leaves turn, we schedule right before Halloween. That becomes rivalry week. Then there's no, we already have a spot locked up. Now we have to play our guys. Now the game doesn't lose any meaning. That's the only other workaround. Or you just accept the fact that some years the business decision is, hey, Ohio State or our biggest rival, if you're not a Michigan fan, whoever you're playing in rivalry weekend, it's not as important as winning a Big Ten title because a Big Ten title gives you a bye week. Right. And that's more important. One less game and a gauntlet to win a national title. I used to do this bit with Michigan fans where before they beat Ohio State, some of them would say, we'd rather beat Ohio State than win a Big Ten title. And I never understood that. You want to win championships. Ideally, it's by beating your rival along the way, but it's always going to be more important to win a national title or a Big Ten title. And it's why Michigan pivoted last year to the Georgia thing, right? The Georgia drill. Well, that became the expectation.
Didn't go away. We added
No,
but we didn't go away from preparing
say,
for Ohio State.
I didn't say go away, but there was a pivot to focusing on loftier goals, right?
Yeah. And the part of why I hate this discussion is because I know I'm on the losing side of it. Will they eventually move the rivalry game to sometime in October? Yes, they eventually will. I will disagree with it. From now until my last breath, I don't want that. I want it to be, I want to hold on to every single tradition that we possibly can. And I understand that's old school thinking. I'm allowed to have my opinion and want those old school traditions, but I know that they are every year that goes by, every month that goes by, it's more and more likely that they're going to move that game earlier in the season, not because of the weather and the beautiful fall and the changing of the leaves. That's all BS.
Cool, crisp in the air.
It's the fact that it matters more, and you're going to have more of the important players playing in that. And you want to, if you're going to preserve some of the meaning of the game, you will move it earlier, and it's going to hurt.
I think the fall foliage matters more than you think, John.
John, that's a
says a guy from the middle of Michigan.
I think that's the first time you admitted that it's
going to happen.
Like you've come to the realization you're fighting a losing battle. And the reason I think you're saying that is because you look at Ohio State, Michigan, and we're talking about possibly devaluing the biggest game in college football. Well, the way you make it valuable is to put it in mid-October at 8 o'clock at night, and you sell it to the highest bidder.
Now, hold on. I'll let him compromise. You can play it at noon, but you got to move it into the hearty middle of the season.
John, you know how valuable that is if you put that up for broadcast rights?
Oh, I know.
That's what the NFL's doing?
As John's pointed out, it's one of the highest. It is the most watched game every single season.
Yeah.
So it's an important decision for TV networks, which we know are driving the bus too.
It's so painful. It really is.
I don't want to gloss over it.
I'm disgusted by where we're at, but we know the sport, it's all driven by money. And if you're going to say to a broadcast partner, to the Big Ten, they come and they offer you, hey, instead of paying you $20 million a piece for this game, we'll pay you $35.
Yeah.
But you have to move it to the first week in October. I mean, it's going to happen, and it's only going to take one, maybe 2 years, because everything in college football, even though it seems like it's in hyperdrive right now, some of the traditions are really, really hard to give up on. It's eventually going to happen, because if what happens with Dabo Sweeney's, if it all comes true, which it eventually will, and you have important players in that game sit out. And again, it only takes one time. And maybe it's 5 years from now. Maybe it's 10 years from now. Whenever it happens, it will be moved.
Why is it a bad thing, though? Like, hear me out on this. You start a new tradition where we get the best of both worlds, where we get more meaningful games throughout the regular season, because now you're going to play Oregon and USC and Washington more often, bigger games on your regular season slate. You're going to get a 12-team playoff where you're going to get one or two more big games on your season slate.
I understand new traditions.
And in 50 years, that'll be great.
In 50 years, that'll be great.
Okay.
But the whole the upbringing that I've had, the breeding that I've had in regards to, I would watch, like, it's already painful enough to know that the Rose Bowl really isn't the granddaddy of them all. And it's not played on January 1st every year. It's not always, and it never will be again, the Big Ten and the Pac-12, Pac-8, Pac-10. It's never going to happen again, because the Pac-10, the Pacific Conference, doesn't even exist.
Two teams for now. Two teams, Oregon State and Washington State.
Here's one thing I do want to disagree with you a little bit about, is that I don't think it's that these things happen, is that the opportunities happened before, and we really haven't seen it to this mass effect. Teams are going 4-4. They might opt out. Well, we haven't seen it now. Why would that change now?
Correct. Well, that half of Dabo's thing I'm not as concerned about. It's the rivalry game at the end and strategic opt-outs for conference title games. I think that's more likely than the other
before
one.
Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, before they made that decision, that's the watershed moment. We didn't see it before that. We've seen it more and more now for bowl games. And it's just the progression that players will take. It's they're going to take everything that they possibly can, whether it's transfer, whether it's NIL, whether it's, hey, becoming employees, whatever the benefit is, until there is a union, until it is collectively bargained, it's a free-for-all, and players will eventually opt out. If they're 4-4, players will eventually opt out of the rest of the season, because to them, what does it matter? They've got, in their minds, everyone's going to the NFL. Everybody thinks they have greener pastures next year.
But is that because the playoff is expanding, or is it just the evolution of what's
going on? It's just the evolution.
Correct. The playoff expansion, the impact one, is the
it may accelerate it.
Finale of the season.
But I would disagree a little bit about that too, like, because the rivalry games are the biggest games, and those are the flipping of whether you're going to a conference championship game or not, and the expanded conferences, a lot of tiebreakers and a lot of teams to fight through in this.
Your point is you're incentivized to win that game.
Yes, I still believe so.
Even in this new system. Ticketek says, what does the new football coach at Marshall think about Dabo Swinney's comments?
That's right. You've already discarded very true to yourself, you said, all I am trying to do is take on a program, one of the worst in college football. I want to be the offensive coordinator to earn my right to go to a bigger program, one on the mainland, and you have already made that shift.
I have played too much of the game. I think that's the key takeaway. I am already a season deep. I have left Hawaii. I am now the head coach of the Thundering Herd at Marshall, my first head coaching opportunity. Your takeaway was, how have you already played a whole season?
Yeah.
And my response is, it's a really good game. But I know I got to dial it back. I have to be an adult, a human being. We're getting to the middle of the week. Well,
let's see if that addiction. Addictions are real.
Yeah. Stay tuned. All right, we got Fact or Fiction Receipts Edition from the first half of the Tiger season. That's after the update. It's 97.1.